Well, there's a story told about St. Augustine, which I probably have shared on another Trinity Sunday, where he was once walking upon the shores of the ocean, and he was greatly perplexed as he contemplated the idea of the Trinity. And as he was meditating on this concept, he came upon a little boy with a seashell. And the boy was running to the ocean and filling the shell and then running back and pouring it to a hole that he had made in the sand. When Augustine came up to the young man, he says, "What are you doing, my little man?" And the boy replied, "Oh, I'm trying to put the ocean in this hole." And Augustine figured that he had learned his lesson, and as he passed on, said to himself, "That is what I'm trying to do. I see it now. Standing on the shores of time, I'm trying to get into this little finite mind things which are infinite." Well, I don't think it's wrong to try to contemplate the infinite things of God. We do need to acknowledge that on this side of heaven, there are some things we are never going to fully understand. And we need to be content to let God know some things that we can't know and allow God to be God. Well, I was told the other day about a man who wasn't a creaster, those that come just on Christmas and Easter, but he actually just showed up once a year on Trinity Sunday. And when asked, "Well, why Trinity Sunday?" And he explained that he wanted to see if the pastor could actually explain it this year. Now, perhaps you've all heard various kind of metaphors to describe the Holy Trinity. H2O, liquid, steam, ice, all water, yet just different forms. The clover, which is obviously attributed mostly to St. Patrick, where it's three leaves attached to one stem. Or even the egg. You have the yolk, the whites, and the shell. However, unfortunately, each one is ultimately inadequate to fully help us grasp, because again, we're trying to define that which is infinite with our finite language and expressions. In seminary, my professor said that the closest way for us to understand the Trinity is to see it as a dance of three, interconnected, moving together, meeting one another, and yet separate. However, mainly, I think we need to remember that God is one God who manifests himself in the person of Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit enables us to believe in Jesus, so we are then capable of truly knowing the Father. If you start in Genesis and read from the very beginning, we're told that God is community within himself. And it's why we too are called to community. Because only in community can we truly know and understand and meet God. And the images that were given through today's passages are pretty awesome images and views of the gift that we have in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Since it's only through all that God is that we can enjoy the life that we've been given. Or as Paul tells us in Romans, we can even enjoy our suffering. I always love that. We can boast in our suffering. People just read on past that. Now, perhaps things are going well for you right now, and it's wonderful. Enjoy it. Bask in it. But know that because of the world we live in, when we truly walk and live in faith that God has called us to, there will be times of suffering. And perhaps that is where you find yourself. I just wanted to throw out to those of you that watch the games of Game of Thrones, when things are going well, remember, winter is coming. Suffering is unfortunately a part of our existence at times. So how can Paul say that we can boast in it? Why? It's because of the grace and peace we have with God, because of Jesus' work that first Easter.
here's an easy
kind of question for you. What's the opposite of peace? Very good. See, you're not asleep yet. Right. Pretty easy. Well, unfortunately, we all know what war is. Some more personally than others, perhaps. And yet when we think of war, we always think of it out there, don't we? Over there. Not within ourselves. But the truth is that without the work of Jesus, we are at war with God. We don't want to think of it that way. But each one of us is at war with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I think if I stay at war with God, no matter how big my arsenal, I'm going to lose. I'm just saying. So how do we make peace? Because that's ultimately what we always want, isn't it? When we look at the fightings overseas, we want peace. When we look at kind of conflicts within families, we want peace. So how do we get peace with God? How do we access the riches that we certainly don't deserve, but God wants to give us? It's through receiving the Holy Spirit. The love of God that enables us to truly know Him. See, it's all three acting together in the dance that make each of us capable of being redeemed. I mean, that's pretty amazing, even if you can't explain all the details or understand the mystery of it. God looks at each one of us now and remembers us through the cross, washed clean. None of our faults, our failings, our sins, none of it is seen by God. The movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which came out, I believe, in the 90s, which is an absolutely hysterical movie if you haven't had a chance to see it. The main character, Tula Portokalos, is a daughter of a Greek immigrant to which his culture is the main thing. And the whole family is, as she puts it, very Greek. And horror of horrors, she begins to date a non-Greek. Ian Miller, a man that has his parents, and that's about the extent of his family. On their first date, Ian wants to take her to a Greek restaurant he knows, which actually is her family restaurant. Earlier in the movie, before Tula's transformation from an unkempt woman to a fashionable person who now takes pride in how she looks, Ian actually had come into the restaurant, and she had made a complete fool of herself in the process. Well, now, as she says to him that this is her family's restaurant, he looks at her and he goes, "I remember you. You're that waitress." To which she corrects him, "The seating hostess." He goes, "No, I remember you." And now she gets a little kind of uncomfortable. And she's like, "Well, look, I was going through a phase then. I was frump girl." And Ian looks at her and goes, "I don't remember Frump Girl, but I remember you." See, God remembers you in light of Jesus. He doesn't remember you when you were at war with Him, but as you are now, washed, redeemed, filled with the Holy Spirit, so you can live in hope even when life is hard. So one commentator explains, he says, Paul spells out the benefits of faith in Trinitarian terms, focusing in turn on the past, the present, and the future. He is not calling us to develop a peaceful conscience. He is telling us that we already stand in the grace of God. In other words, this peace is not a feeling of contentment when we think about God. It is the new status we have with God. We have a new standing with God because of this justification. We now stand in His grace. We have peace with God. See, the question ultimately is not if you intellectually understand Trinitarian theology. Because I'm telling you now, nobody understands Trinitarian theology. Even the most learned scholars in the Christian faith. question is whether you've received the love of God through the Spirit, so that resting on the belief in Jesus, you share the Father's glory. There's a story of a piccolo player who was the most consistent orchestra member of getting ready for a grand performance. Week after week, for months, this piccolo player attended every single rehearsal and followed the guidance, every single guidance that the conductor put out. One day, the maestro wanted to publicly acknowledge the piccolo player's faithfulness. He wanted the rest of the musicians to follow the piccolo player's example of being there all the time. The conductor had the man stand and began a lengthy praise for his orchestra members. Finally, the piccolo player raised his hand and replied, "Sir, I want you to know that I can't make the performance, but I've been here at all the rehearsals just to make up for it." Don't be the piccolo player, attending the rehearsals but missing the performance. Allow the truth of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to pervade your soul so that you can know the contentment. You can know God's peace, not as a concept, but as a reality in your life. Amen.